Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that perhaps offends some. That's okay. We're talking about a subject today that perhaps have been questioned in the hearts and the minds of multitudes of Christians, but you've been silent. We're talking about a subject today that I believe the morals, ethics, and the values of any church, any pastor, any Christian are being violated by celebrating trunk or treat or any other name that you want to give it, because it's in a church, because it's by Christians, then you're calling it another name rather than Halloween. You're fooling yourself. It is an absolute pagan celebration. I'm looking at an article that says, although some people view Halloween as harmless and fun, the practices associated with it are in direct conflict with all biblical teachings. Halloween is based on a false belief about the dead and invisible spirits, which are nothing more than demons' spirits, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking just before the top of the hour news. We're talking about the pagan history of Halloween. It goes back to the 800s when the Roman Catholic Church brought the paganistic shamanism into the church on the basis that they wanted to bring the pagans into the church. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it was all about numbers, nickels, and noses. As I studied, I don't find anything that would validate the fact that they wanted to bring them to Christ, but simply to have domination and control over them at that time, bringing them into the church. I'm looking at my tract, three-fold tract that I was written and published in 96. The commencement reviewed, Halloween is an ungodly pagan festival in the ancient Druids, which became shaman, the Lord of the Dead. A shaman supposedly called together all the wicked souls who had died within the past 12 months and had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. This event was celebrated the last of October, the eve of the Celtic New Year. It was the time of the falling of the leaves and the general season of decay, and seemed appropriate to celebrate death. The celebration honored the god of the dead and the wicked spirits of the dead. It was the Druids' belief that on this particular night, the souls of the dead literally returned to their former homes to be entertained by the living. If accepted, food and shelter were not provided, the evil spirits would cast spells, cause terror, bring about havoc, and haunt and torture the living. The food and the gifts that would be divided among the living called treats. The evil spirits, if the treats were not given, would be received tricks. Therefore, we get today the term trick or treat. Horrible thought, Pastor Davis. I just can't believe, and yet I see it, I know it, I understand it, I realize it. Don't understand it. I do realize what's taking place in the culture in which we're living today. We're bringing the culture of the world into the front doors of the church, giving it another name and putting a bow on it. It's like Sarah Palin said a number of years ago, she was running a campaign. It's like putting lipstick on a pig.
Amen.
And that's what we find taking place in relationship to the churches, celebrating shamanism, celebrating Halloween, celebrating the ability, as it was thought then, and is the roots of it today, that the living can communicate with the dead spirits. Ladies and gentlemen, the practice survived even after the people became, even the nations that became Christianized, this practice still survived, and it was brought into the church through the All Saints Day and the All Souls Day, where people made many of the old pagan customs, used them, and brought them into the house of God. I'm looking at an article that All Saints Day is also called All Hallows Day. Halloween is celebrated the day before, or specifically the evening before the All Saints Day. The word Halloween is derived from Hallows Eve. The emphasis on spirits, goblins, witches, and other dark images came about from the supposition that the dark forces were especially active before All Saints Day in order to hinder the prayer of the dead that would be offered the next day. The practice of trick-or-treating dates back to the Middle Ages, when poor people would go door-to-door begging for food in exchange for their prayers for the dead, or they would have tricks to be performed.
My.
This article further states, while the Bible teaches that the dead in Christ are alive, ladies and gentlemen, hear what this says. While the Bible teaches the dead of Christ are alive, it nowhere teaches that we can ask for their intercession. Rather, it urges Christians to come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:14-16. We are to depend upon Christ alone for his salvation, and upon him alone for his grace. Living after salvation, the Bible speaks of Christ as being our mediator, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, should Christians participate in the celebration of Halloween? Let me just wrap this particular part up, Pastor Davis. This pagan holiday was imported to America when the early American settlers came from England, bringing Halloween and all the pagan shamanism and witchcraft and practices with them. Pastor Davis, does the Bible authorize, commend, or tell the Christians that we're to embrace witchcraft, paganism, shamanism? Does the Bible any place say that we're to embrace that?
Every place I have read, Dr. Youngblood, concerning any kind of worship other than worship to God.
That's right.
Is considered abomination.
That's right.
So therefore, God is not going to sign off on something just to make you feel good about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think that if you change the name or change the process in some kind of way to fit what you want to do, he's going to say, okay, they're doing a good thing and they're still not worshiping Satan. If you're doing it at the same time of the season as the others are doing it, you might as well just go ahead and do the same thing they're
doing. That's right. Why put on a show? Why put on a front?
You can't put a bow on a rattlesnake and say he's harmless.
That's right. Absolutely. That
because
works.
If you go to take that bow off, my friend, you're going to get bitten.
Let's chase that rabbit a little further, if you will. If we have our kids introduced to that, and many churches have the Sunday school classes for the kids decorated for Halloween, if they have the trunk or treat, it is still celebrating Halloween. If we do that, what does it do to the mind, the heart, and the of the child for his future reference as to what is separate from the world and to live a Christ-like life that is separate from the world? That child grows up believing if mom and dad does it, if our church does it, if the pastor allows it, then it must be all right.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Does that
Amen.
Do as far as causing that child to yield to other worldly practices that will destroy that child in the future?
Well, that's still, Dr. Young, that's generating more confusion.
That's right.
Instead of giving them an answer to the situation. So that's why we need to stick with the Bible. God had it right the first time.
That's right.
When he gave us the word, he had it right the first time. So all we need to do is obey what this word says. Now, Leviticus chapter 19, and there's two verses there we're going to touch on, verses 26 and 31. 26, this is what God had to say to his people. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we know that he commanded blood sacrifices, but that was supposed to come through clean animals and not human blood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because he said, man was not supposed to eat blood because The life was in the blood.
That's right.
So then to eat blood was an abomination in the sight of God. So he went down in the very next verse and said, neither. In other words, that means connect those two together.
Right.
Shall ye use enchantment nor observe times.
Mm-hmm.
That's witchcraft.
That's witchcraft.
That's, you know, these little chants that they like to make.
Mm-hmm.
And some people walk around and they take it for a harmless thing and say, oh, I'm going to cast a spell on you.
Again, it goes back to the root of Halloween, which was shamanism, which was witchcraft, which was having seances and a deviant demonic spirit being brought into the center of the thinking of the activities.
Amen. Amen. And then he went down to verse number 31. Listen to what he said. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled mm-hmm. by them. I am the Lord your God. You see, he's trying to turn your attention away from that to let you know I am all you need. I am the Lord your God. He's still a covenant-keeping God, so if we trust in him to supply for us what he said he will do for us in his word, then, of course, he's going to give us, like Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Amen.
So we don't have to do the thing that the world are doing. All we have to do is obey God, and he's going to give us all things we need to enjoy life with.
What about the 2 Corinthians text, Pastor, that says that if we're saved, old things passed away, and behold, all things
Amen.
Have become new.
Amen.
All things have become new. And ladies and gentlemen, the precaution that we need to understand, biblically speaking, the precaution is that Christians should not celebrate Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving, Halloween.
Amen. Amen.
Christians should not celebrate Halloween. It is an oxymoron to say that I love Jesus and I'm going to celebrate Halloween. I'm looking at an article that says, as a logical thinking person, consider for a moment what you are celebrating and what Halloween is all about. Is the holiday uplifting? Is Halloween pure? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? Is it of good report? Remember, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things, the
Amen.
Scripture says. And
Amen.
Pastor, also we find in 1 Corinthians 10:21, the Scripture says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot participate, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. That means, ladies and gentlemen, you can't ride the fence.
Amen.
You can't say, well, I'm going to celebrate Halloween. I know that it's not good. I know it's not right. But my kids need to do something. All the other kids in the world, all the other kids down to the block, all of the lost world is celebrating it. So I'm going to do so I can appease my kids, so I can appease my family. Pastors, listen very carefully. Don't go down that rabbit hole of saying that, well, it brings the world together into the churchyard. And I've heard this so many times. We get to give them candy. We get to give them gospel tracts. And somehow, some way, we might be able to. How can you? The old saying is, if you want to go down and win the pigs to Jesus, you don't get in the slop pen with them.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that's an
Amen.
Old crass illustration. But you don't have to get in the slop pen with the pigs to reach the pigs.
Amen.
And yet there are a lot of people. In fact, I've heard a preacher saying, well, I'm going down to the strip joint, going down to the bar and the lounge and the clubs, and I'm doing it for Jesus because I'm going to pass out tracts. Makes about as much sense as saying I'm going to have a trunk or treat day on the parking lot of the church
Amen.
Because we want to get the world to know who we are.
Amen.
Well, the world's going to know who you are. The world's going to know that you ride the fence, that you're bifurcating truth, that you do not stand for truth, and say, no, we're having nothing to do with the worldly, demonic, shamanism, witchcraft practice of Halloween.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, you know, consider the other part of that verse you just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The very next verse, 22, says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?
Mm-hmm.
You better be careful about making
right.
God mad.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Are we stronger than he? And then Paul goes on to try to edify the Christian and encourage him in verse number 23 by saying, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And he goes on down a little bit further and say, I will not be brought under the power of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so We have to be careful.
Absolutely.
As Christians, a lot of times we damage our testimony before we can even get it out of our mouths by some of the things we participate in when we say it's okay to do these things because we're doing it in a different way. And then when you go to the sinners going to think, and I'm going to tell you now, there's a lot of smart sinners out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, how can he tell me he's a Christian and he's doing the same thing I'm doing?
You got it. That's exactly it. That's the whole problem.
Amen.
That is the very heart of the issue. And I'm going back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, so many churches, so many Christians, so many homes, so many families are participating in the celebration of this witchcraft, unholy, ungodly shamanism called Halloween. I'm looking at an article that says, is Halloween based on godly good terms, such as the idea of peace and freedom and salvation? Does the holiday bring to mind feelings of fear, oppression, bondage, death? Additionally, does the Bible sanction witchcraft, witches, or sorcery? On the contrary, the Bible makes it very clear that these practices are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible goes on to say in Leviticus 20:27 that anyone who practices witchcraft, soothsaying, sorcery should be killed. Deuteronomy 18:9-13 adds, when you come into the land which is the Lord your God given you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations.
Amen.
Text that you just spoke about just a moment ago, Pastor.
Amen.
And one
Amen.
Of the things in Ephesians 5:11, Pastor Davis, it warns us that we ought not to take part in that unfruitful work. Read Ephesians 5:11 for us. It's very, very clear, and just that one verse alone. It's directive in Ephesians 5:11.
Amen. And he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful. That means unproductive. What are you gaining from it if it's unfruitful?
Mm-hmm.
Works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Mm-hmm. In other words, we should be standing against that.
Exposing it, reproving
Amen.
It, rejecting it, rather
Amen.
Than embracing it.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
In Ephesians 4:27 says, and give no place to the devil.
Amen.
That means don't open the door to allow Satan and his demons to enter into that door.
Amen.
I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis, that the title of it says, should Christians totally avoid Halloween? Here's what pastors say. This is shocking. This is the pastor's response to the question, should Christians totally avoid Halloween? This article dated just yesterday. Should Christians avoid Halloween? That's a question that comes up every year as people of faith grapple with the holiday known for ghosts, ghouls, goblins, and the elevation of various evil spirits. But for many, Halloween is merely an opportunity to dress up, to snag some free candy. Thus, there's a debate over how people of faith should handle and engage in these festivities, as this writer calls it. Just as a Christian having varying views on how to handle Halloween, it seems that pastors have the same confusion. In fact, according to the New Lifeway survey, 71% of pastors engage in such encouragement. 71% of the pastors encourage the engagement in celebration of Halloween.
My.
58% of church members forge relationships with people around the trick-or-treat time, end quote. But there's a deeper question to the heart of the Halloween debate. What percentage of pastors want their church members to totally ignore the holiday? It turns out that just 13% of pastors say that the Christian should ignore the holiday called Halloween. And that figure is up from 8% in 2016. 34% now recommend that people hand out tracts, go trick-or-treating, and 26% said the same in 2016.
Wow.
This is the reason we see the church falling. This is the reason we see the apostasy. This
Amen.
Is the reason we see a lack of revival. This is the reason we see churches closing across America, is because pastors do not have a biblical spine to stand up and say to the congregation and say to the world, we're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for ethics and morals and values. We're going to be separate from the world. Scripture says, come out from among them and be you separate.
My.
Yet we find pastors embracing this ghoulish, shamanistic, witchcraft celebration called Halloween.
Amen.
This article further says, One interesting factor is that the age disparity when it comes to pastors who discourage Halloween. This is the story. This tells the tale now. 20% of pastors age 65 or older encourage churches to avoid the holiday completely. Mm-hmm. Higher than that, 6% of the 18 to 44-year-old pastors and 12% of the 45 to 54-year-old pastors said the same. So the older the pastor means he's seasoned in the Word. He's seen enough that he says no.
Amen.
And yet we have today what I call the pop-up churches with the pop-up pastors with the pop-up theology that's embracing everything that the world embraces and yet calls it a church. It is simply a country club with a steeple so many times. It is simply a nightclub with a steeple. It is simply a bar lounge and club with a steeple so often rather than it being a house of God.
Amen. Well, Dr. Youngblood, when you find such, and I've seen it many times in my 37 years in Christ, they're headed for shipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't embrace the things out of the world, dress them up, call them by a different name, and make them suitable for the church.
Right, doesn't work.
Again, going back to what you said, the scripture said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature.
Right.
There's nothing old about that. He said the old things are, not was.
Passed away.
He said they are passed away. Mm-hmm. So that means that should be put in the past. They are dead and buried.
They're gone. That's right.
Amen. So we have no business digging that back up and instituting that back into the church. There are things morally within us as Christians we need to learn how to depart with, especially if they are habits that we used to do when we were in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you get rid of a habit, you have to replace that with something. And that means you have to replace it with the Word of God as a Christian.
That's right.
That's the only thing that's going to keep you walking in the straight and narrow.
That's it. Because in Ephesians 4:27, Pastor, it says, give no place to the devil.
Amen.
That means don't give an opportunity. Don't open the door. Don't crack the door. Don't allow the potentiality of that demonic spirit entering in. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Amen. Amen.
Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, that is, abstain from all appearance of evil. How do you abstain from all appearance of evil if you have the world looking on? Can you imagine a church, you got your trunk-or-treat celebration with the ghosts, the goblins, et cetera, and the costumes out on the parking lot of a church. Somebody drives by. Is that an appearance of good or an appearance of evil? Is that appearance of spirituality or is it an appearance of worldliness? What does it appear to the driver by? What does it seem like? What does it appear as to the youngster, the young kid, the preteen, the teenager, the young man, young girl that is going to grow up embracing that because our pastor did, our church did, therefore I can do so also. It is a horrible thought to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, test everything, hold fast to the good, abstain from that which is the appearance of evil. We need to admonish our listeners today, Pastor, that we need to stick to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and not what the world says, the world does, and get away from the practices of the world. Now, we're in the world, we're not of the world. But because we're in the world does not mean that we're supposed to take on the appearance, the activities, and the attitude of the world.
Amen.
We're passing through. We're aliens in this world. But when you go to Deuteronomy, you go to Leviticus, and it talks about witchcraft. It talks about soothsaying. It talks about what we would call, from the study of Halloween, the roots of that in shamanism. And there needs to be a recognition, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot dabble in the world and dabble in the Word at the same time. That's fence riding. And ladies and gentlemen, we have today a major, mega, mega problem within our churches because so many Christians and churches and families and homes that's participating in the world and then putting lipstick on it, as you will, if you please, and going to church on Sunday calling it spirituality and Christianity.
Amen.
It is a fake, phony farce, and it does not honor the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. Do you celebrate Halloween? Do you think that it's all right? Do you think Christians should embrace it? Love to hear from you. Love to hear from you, especially if you're a pastor. Do you celebrate Halloween in your church? Do you allow it to be celebrated? Do you encourage the fellowship in your church to celebrate Halloween? How do you stand on that subject? 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you today as to your thoughts. Romans 13:12 says, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen.
Casting off the works of darkness. And when you look at Halloween, it is the assumption, the presumption that you can speak to the dead. That is the time, that's the roots of it, that shamanism, the roots of it, brought into the All Saints Day and All Souls Day under Roman Catholicism back in the 800s and following. And as a result of that, it's been brought forth and being practiced now in the realm of what is called Protestantism, within the realm of Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, et cetera, all denominations. In fact, I don't know of a denomination that in some fashion, in some token embracing of this, does not celebrate Halloween. And I believe that it is a sham, it's a shame, it's a disgrace, it's an abomination, as the Word of God calls it. In Romans 12:13, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Then in James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
We've got to resist that evil that is there, that is a demonic delusion. I believe we can call it nothing more and nothing less than that demonic delusion in relationship to the celebration of Halloween. Pastor, read for us if you've got your Bible there, and I believe you do. John 3:19-20. John 3:19-20.
Amen. Says here, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
And that's what you see taking place, ladies and gentlemen, with the celebration of Halloween. In fact, let's just wrap up some thoughts, Pastor Davis. The devil would have a Christian to believe somehow, some way. It's a delusion, but the devil would have you to believe that I'm going to pass out a gospel tract, so it's okay. It's all right to encourage my child to go door to door and ask for candy, because we're going to get them to pass out gospel tracts. Ladies and gentlemen, every Christian must there must be no participation in the celebration of Halloween. Churches ought to be ashamed, as I would call it today, to try to mimic Halloween under a different title, like some churches even build haunted houses. They have pumpkin costumes, invite and encourage the community to participate in trunk or treat. Here's some questions need to be asked in our final moments. How will the community view this worldly practice in your church? What effect will it have on your children presently and in the future? Is God honored in your participation of Halloween? Can the church now say to the other worldly practices and celebrations, no? Once you've opened the door, you can't say no. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Pray this has been a blessing, a challenge for you. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.